Well, how about we spend some time in God's Word, which is just always a delight to us. And we're going to go to a very popularly known scripture, John 10:10.
I would most of you can quote it with no problem.
John 10:10. John 10:10. Jesus Christ speaking here. And it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And the more than abundant life is available, Jesus Christ, one of the reasons why he came was for what we just read. It's available, and we're living the more than abundant life. And that life is not, it's to be abounding and abundant in all facets that God makes available. Abounding in power, abounding in an understanding of truth, abounding in love, in joy, in peace, and thanksgiving, and understanding of things, and in information received by God. It's not just like one little category of life. I know culturally a lot of times people will think, well, the more than abundant life has to be, well, you got a lot of stuff. And that's how it has gotten narrowed down to it, not just that one category. And actually that category, having a lot of stuff or not, has nothing to do with the more than abundant life. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. We're to abound in prosperity. But prosperity is not the accumulation of things, which is, as I said, a lot of times people will think, well, if you're prosperous, you must have a lot of things. You must have a lot of nice things. Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ commented on this. Verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware." So when he says take heed and beware, there's a big thing coming that he's going to say. "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Covetousness is where you're hoarding things. You want more and more. You're never satisfied. If you have 10 things you want of something, you want 11, or you want 12, or you want 50. It's the covetousness where you're always wanting, wanting, wanting. "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." I know a lot of times people will measure a person's goodness, or not goodness, but greatness, based on what he's got. Does he have a trophy wife? Does he have this? Does he have that? Does he have, you know, and then you're measured by that. It's really the world, it's a trap that some people in the world are in. Fortunately for us, we're not in that trap. At least it seems like it. We really could give a hoot about how many things we have. The things we have really are for service. Like, I mean, I understand this is a big house, but we desire this for service. Not that, you know, I can say, oh, I live in a big house. Not worth it. Guarantee that. It's for service. It's for giving. It's for helping and blessing. So the things we have, any of this, it should be for to help our lives and to bless others with. That's pretty much it. The rest we could do without. Let somebody else pick from. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now there is something that is really wonderful about the more than abundant life that we'll see here in Acts chapter 20. This is actually Paul stating what Jesus Christ said. Verse 35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive than to give."
No.
Well, that's pretty much what the world teaches. Hey, better to get than to give. Better to get. Now, it's better to better to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And giving is just something that is a great part of living God's Word. And it's something that often the world misses out on. The world is taught to accumulate, take. If you can take some more, get it. If you can get it for free, even if you have to steal it, get it. Very few times are people in the world taught to give, especially of themselves. But Paul certainly understood this truth that Jesus Christ taught. Verse 33. And he's speaking to believers in Ephesus, recapping some of the things that he had done for them over the years. It says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I can't say that about myself, because when I see Dennis and I see the shirts he's wearing, I know like 5-6 years from now they'll be on my chest. So other than that, this isn't one of them, but
he goes. Several. Did you see Dennis's shirt?
So if you see me going, I feel that texture there. So I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, you know, the things that I needed to do to take care of myself, and to them that were with me. Paul was a giver. He took care of himself. You have to. But he also took care of other people. And I know he didn't have much to do. He had all this free time, you know. Let's go to John chapter 3. God is a giver. He's the ultimate giver. God is a giver. His nature is giving. And the most popular scripture in the Bible among Christians is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In James 1, don't go there, it says that he giveth wisdom liberally or generously to those who ask for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it talks about that he about the things that God has freely given to us. He's a giver. I mean, and that's referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have what we have because he has given to us. Just his nature. He is a giver. And giving is something that we should also have in our lives. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Giving is to be such a staple in the way we live. It's a lifestyle to give. And we are good examples of that. Our fellowship is a great example of people who give to one another and give to people, whether it's finances or love or help or prayer. I mean, look how many people have been healed physically because of the prayer lives of the people in this room. Incredible. That's great giving. That's an impact. Chapter 2, verse 8. Paul speaking by revelation, the things that he did to help these Thessalonians. It says, so being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You know, they didn't just teach the word, but they were heavily involved with their lives. They gave up their own souls. And often that's a dividing line in people. They're willing to maybe give of their money, or they're willing to maybe give of something that they have, but don't eat into their own lives. You know, then all of a sudden you're crossing the line with them. They don't want to bother with people. It's like sometimes a very famous people. They love their fans, but don't get involved with me. You know, the big concert, they love everybody. But then get those same people behind with them in the back. They're like, yeah, get this guy out of here. They don't want to be involved. But our lives are so much different than that. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Paul just gave everything that he had to bless God's people. And we read at the end of his life in Timothy, he didn't regret having done all that. There's no scripture that says, you know, I wish I didn't do that. I just wasted my entire life to bless God's people. No, he didn't do that. Chapter 3, verse 6, Peter and John helping this man that was crippled, says, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Yep. Maria's saying, and walk. She's right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Giving is a process that is to be our lifestyle. It's just who we should be. It's a part of service to God and to each other when we give. And we don't give to be seen, like, you know, in the Gospels, there's the, who are those guys that were always trying to, I think it was the Pharisees, always doing things in the public's eye to look good. I guess, you know, it talks about them putting on their phylacteries or whatever those things, those boxes.
Phylacteries.
Phylacteries. You know, they were doing it to look good, but really in their heart they were elsewhere. We're not, that's no fun. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is referring to the body of Christ, each member in particular. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that by that which every joint withholdeth. Supplieth. There's giving involved to that. According to the effectual working in the matter, measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When the body of Christ is giving, it gets edified. Let's go to, we're in the same chapter, verse 28. Let him that stole steal bigger. No, let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The word give is not a bad four-letter word. It's a good four-letter word. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. The last book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Well, the King James book. Chapter 3. Remember we used to call this the Book of Malachi? Mm-hmm. Over the Italian?
Malachi.
Chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So as those Judean believers were tithing, it allowed God to open up the windows of heaven to bless them. Because there's that process of giving and receiving. When you're only receiving, we do this with food, and nobody likes it. If you're only receiving and not giving, after a while you don't feel good. There are words for it, but I'm not going to describe it. But it's not a good thing. There's got to be a giving process with that receiving for everything to balance out. All right, we're moving on. Let's go to Exodus. We're going to look at a couple examples of giving. Chapter 36. Giving is such a joy. Giving is such a joy. If it's all about ourselves and our comfort, you know, like everything has got to be about me, you know, everything I do has got to reflect on me getting blessed, me being happy, and me being comfortable, then we miss out on the joy of one of the great joys of life, and that is giving. Boredom starts to set in, and eventually a lack of fulfillment. Like people that retire, and I'm not saying this has to happen, but I've heard it so many times through the years. Guy looks forward to retiring all his life so that he doesn't have to work anymore and do anything. He retires, and 3 months later, he's either dead, or he's bored stiff, or he feels like junk because he's not given anymore. He doesn't have a purpose for having to get up and get going even if he doesn't feel well. He has stopped that giving process, unless they do something else. So I'm not saying that everybody that retires falls into that trap, but I don't know how many times they've seen it and heard it. It's because they've stopped the process that they've been applying all their lives, looking at giving of themselves like it's a drudgery. And then when they finally don't have to give, it's like, ah, oh, I missed it. Working is a great joy and a great pleasure. If we stopped working, I mean, it's nice for a week or two, or I'll try a month, yeah. I haven't tried that, but, you know, it's because it's a rest and it's a change, but to stop it as a lifestyle, to stop working and stop giving, be hard. Be as boredom as it can be. Your body starts to rot. You ever see houses or swimming pools that aren't used anymore, they're no longer in service, they fall apart faster. You would think, okay, there's nothing being done to it, it can't wear out. They actually fall apart faster. Mechanically, you know, like cars that way, you don't use it anymore, it falls apart. It's amazing. So, giving is an incredible thing. Here's Exodus. This is when the believers were going to make the tabernacle. They were going to build the tabernacle in Moses' day. And they made a request of the believers to bring things to help the tabernacle be made, whether it be materials or food or money, things that were needed to build the tabernacle. And they jumped in, and look what we read here, verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholi and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiah and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So there were people God were inspiring to give of themselves to work. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from the work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, now this is something you don't hear too often. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing.
Oops, sorry.
For the stuff they had.
Could you say that again?
Sure. For the stuff they had.
Sorry.
Okay.
She's paying attention.
She's paying attention. She's right on it. For the stuff they had,
verse 7,
was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much.
Wow.
How about that? They had to be some happy campers, giving and blessing and just giving of what they had available. It doesn't say that they all were in bad shape afterwards for their giving. they got blessed. That's an example in the Old Testament. We're going to look at an example in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Is that Hunter? He's giving of his lungs right now. Who knows? He might be a future singer someday. That blesses God's people with his voice. Chapter 4, verse 34. Great section, the early church. The word was moving very rapidly. A lot of things changing. People's locations and where they live were changing. And in verse 34 it says,
Daddy!
He's got a pair of lungs. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. What a great example of the believers helping one another for the word to live in their lives and for the word to grow in that area. Just wonderful. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Giving is just such a great blessing. I know when we give gifts, like birthday gifts or whatever, if you truly are doing it from your heart, you're actually more excited to give the person the gift than probably the person is to receive it. Just an exciting thing. You know, if you did something like that from your heart, you just wanted to do it to bless them, it's an exciting thing. Chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall be super happy. He hasn't had to give anything. No? He's going to reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the big problems with, well, I'm going to read some more. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You're going to have the things you need to be able to abound. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Everybody wins in that one. God helps the believers to be able to give. The believers get blessed to give. The believers that receive from that giving get blessed. It's a win-win-win. Everybody gets blessed in it. That's one reason why many programs in our country, like welfare programs, where if you stay within the welfare program, you can stay in it. But once you start making some money, you're out of it. And that people, some people will say, I'd rather go without and live under this umbrella than to branch out and start giving of myself. And it actually harms them. You know, because they're restricted from giving unless they do it illegally under the table. Then it's now they're breaking the law. So, but it's restricted. It stops that giving process. Let's go to, while we're in the neighborhood, chapter 11, verse 9. Did we read that earlier? Yeah, we did. Sorry. No. Yeah, chapter 11, verse 9. I turned there. But it didn't say it. Chapter 11, verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself.
Now, Paul understood that great truth of giving.
And lastly, we're going to Luke chapter 6. Paul was a giver. Luke chapter 6. When our children were little, Susan's and my children, one of the aunts gave David a book. It was a pretty big book. It was called The Giving Tree. And it had this picture of a big tree in the front and this kid, I think, in it. And I thought, oh, look at that. It's probably a great book, you know, teaching about giving. So I open it up and I start reading it. And I don't know if the kids were with me or not. I hope they weren't. But it basically kept showing how they kept giving the leaves and its branches. And it eventually got down to, all it had left was the bottom of the trunk. And at the end, it was like, oh, I gave everything out. And that was the end. You give, the teaching was, you give, you lose everything. And I took the book, we threw it out. I was like, I'm going to show our kids this. I thought, such a lie. It was colorfully done.
It was a colorful lie.
And I thought, oh, terrible. And it was a teacher. It was a teacher that gave it to her.
Could have changed everything.
So, but it's total contrary to the truth of God's word. Luke chapter 6. And this is a Orientalism, many of you are familiar with. Verse 38. It says, give, and you shall lose.
No.
When you
no.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. And it's not one for one. It's this. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For when the same measure that you meet with all it shall be measured to you again. And the pressed down, shaken together, and running over is in that day and time, somewhat different than our day and time. When you purchase something, they would put it in their measure, then they'd push it down, they'd shake it, they'd put some more in it, they'd push it down, shake it, put some more into it, and until it would no longer push down or shake, then they'd pour more on top and it'd flow all over.
Wow.
That's how you get back. Us, when we buy a box of Wheaties, and it's 2/3 full. And they always have the disclaimer, you know, contents may change when shaken. But that's how God says we are, when we receive, when we give, when we receive back, that's how we get it. Doesn't say it's going to come from the same person. Like, okay, if I give the rich, then I'm expecting rich to give back. You know, first time shake. No, it shall men give unto thy bosom. It comes back to us. We're not looking to receive, but we will receive. We will receive, and it's just such a great way to live. And we do live that way. And I'm not saying we're not. We live that way, and it's a great lifestyle. And you know, some people choose not to go that route, but we can always give more. I know that. I don't know if God has told anybody here yet that, okay, look, there you can't do one thing more, you're done. Now don't do any more. We can always do more. It's available. It's definitely available. It's just our heart has to say, I want to do more. And so I'm thankful for our fellowship because we are a fellowship of givers. There's a lot of believers that we know around this country that are great givers. And it's just a wonderful way to live. And we are the benefit, just like that verse in Luke. Pressed down, shaken together, and run it over.